have what you need. But you keep on searching. I've done all the work. A stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me. 'Cause you come to the will. Yeah. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. Come to the will.
Good morning, church. We got a few announcements we're going to make about for our youth this morning. We will continue to have Wednesday night Bible study and Wednesday night service. And this week will be a Bible study. I want to encourage you to come. I know it's for our youth, but sometimes we still feel young, right? So y'all come. We're having a good time, and we are still practicing social distancing and all that stuff, and we're doing a good job there. But I want to talk about just a few things that happened with our youth over the weekend or over the past week. You know that we invest in them, and God's working in their lives, and we're teaching and even preaching at times, and you know sometimes you wonder if they're hearing you. You know what I mean? But over the past week, there's been some opportunities for them to minister to different people. And they've done a really, really good job. You may have seen some of that on Facebook. So I want to tell you, your efforts matter. And they're coming around and doing a great job. And they're doing it for the Lord. And I'm proud to see that today. Also, this Wednesday, again, we'll have our service. But, you know, something that's on my heart this morning is everybody in the world today is a little bit troubled. We got a lot on our heart and a lot on our mind. And our situation is really almost life-consuming. Everything we deal with, everything that we do in some form or a fashion has been touched by our current situation. But I want to give you a little hope this morning, remind you of something. If we'll do our part, he'll do his.
Amen.
And we got to hold that close to our heart. In the book of Proverbs, you know, I was looking at a piece of scripture last night, and this morning, the 28th chapter, it starts off with telling us, you know, hey, that the wicked run when nobody chases them. Yeah. You know, I'm not running because my Savior is still Jesus, and that's not going to change. And as long as we can embrace that and live that way, we're going to be fine. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for our service this morning. God, we want to come in this morning, and God, we come in with open ears, Lord, and open hearts. God, will you speak to us this morning? Lord, would you speak through Brother Joe? God, would you give us exactly what we need? And Lord, would we be able to receive it exactly as you'd have us receive it, God? God, there's so many things, Lord, that we come in here. Lord, we know that peace comes from you. Lord, we know that understanding comes from you and all these things. And God, we pray that you would reveal that to us today, that we'd be able to walk away with maybe just a little different mindset than we come in with. God, we know that you've got your hand on all this, and Lord, we know that you're in control. God, please remind us of that this morning, God, that we'd be able to walk away and serve you, Lord, and do it publicly, and Lord, that we'd be able to honor you with our lives. Lord, would you please be with our service this morning? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I believe there's some more singers coming up this morning. So I don't know the names of who's going to be doing that. So whoever you are, come on up.
Good morning. There was this is a little bit of background on the song. I used to sing this song a long time ago, not with Alana. She wasn't quite even old enough to sing yet, I don't think. I'm just kidding. No, but I used to sing this song with a girl named Maddie Runyon that used to go here, and we were talking yesterday. She said, well, what's the song y'all could sing? And I was like, well, I haven't sang this song in a long time. And then we gave it a shot, and first try we got it. So I was like, all right, let's sing it. But I was listening to a testimony one time, and the guy just went on and on and on, and he was talking about like all the things that he had done in his life, and then he got to the end, and he was like, and then I got saved, and I was like, okay, well, I was like, well, that's great. I was like, but Alan mentioned Wednesday, he goes, it's not about all the things you've done wrong, it's about what God did for you and how he saved you from it. And that's kind of what this song's talking about. It's not about, you know, everything that you've done wrong, but it's just what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. So listen to the words of the song. It's called You Are More.
She's been given new life. nothing in this world that we go through that we're going through alone. And sometimes I feel like in watching the news and hearing everything that's going on with people, and sometimes it's about COVID, sometimes it's about other things, we are not alone. The devil wants you to think that you are by yourself, and you're not. He is always there, and you can call on his name in an instant, and he is with you. And that is power that we have as Christians that you can't have without him. So if you haven't been saved, listen to the message today, and I hope that you'll draw near to him and that you will humble yourselves before a God that has the power to take care of you today.
Man, appreciate that singing.
Yes.
Tell you, Alana and Matthew, that was fantastic. Y'all act like you've been practicing that for months. Did a great job. That was a good song. We'd like to hear that one again sometime. Of course, everybody's going through something. That's on my heart and my mind. Thank y'all for singing that. That is, ever since I heard it, it's one of those times that Kendra came to me with the Facebook. And it's on her phone. And I have a four focal point vision. I'll explain to you what that means. I wear trifocals, and they're progressive, but they don't do the job for everything. Sometimes I have to pull them off and put things about 6 inches from my eyeballs. So Kendra brings a phone to me sometimes, and she sticks it right there, and it's Facebook, and I have to get it in the right spot. I don't think about it because it's automatic for me. But she brought the phone to me one time, and it was Randy Jordan sitting at a piano. First time I ever heard that song, and it's true. Everybody's going through something. Everybody has their issues and things that they're dealing with and their challenges and their troubles. But God's with us all. It amazes me, but God is able to hear my prayer and your prayer, my cry and your cry, my praise and your praise, all at the same time. We can't understand that, but what we're trying to do to understand it at all is put God in our position. But here's what we must remember, is he is God and we are not. And the fact that he is God and that he is who he is and who the Bible says that he is, he can handle all of that. Sometimes you and I can't. Sometimes, to be honest with you, I get overwhelmed. There's so many things that come at me, and I feel like, and the responsibility that I have as a father, as a pastor, with the people that I work with my friends, with my family, that I need to carry all that. That I need to have the perfect response and the perfect word and the perfect reaction to every word. And that's a lot. And we start thinking about that, and we can't do it. But I want to tell you, God's got it. And in the midst of all of this, when we can't understand, he's still there. And this will pass. And we will get through it. A couple of things I want to speak of before we get into the Word of God. And we're going to be reading in Jeremiah chapter number 12 and Philippians chapter number 3. And I got 5 pages of notes and I'm about to pull my tie off. But I want to say thank you to the folks upstairs that are working so hard so that we can have the sound, that we can have a Facebook Live service. I appreciate Brother Chris. I appreciate Miss Teresa. I appreciate Brother Rusty. And oftentimes, Miss Tracy, when we need that fill-in, she goes up there and we appreciate that work. And I'll say this about the church. I appreciate the people here that have been faithful to come. And I know we've had some services when we couldn't have people here, some when we could have limited people here. And obviously having people in the church service, you know, we had a crew coming yesterday, and I want to say I really appreciate Miss Ted and Dee Adamson. They came in here yesterday, and they sanitized the church. And they did that again because last Sunday we had a person come in. We checked them. We checked their temperature. We asked them about symptoms, and no issue, but they did test positive this week for COVID. Now, we sanitized the church Sunday, and then we sanitized it again on Wednesday, and then we did it again yesterday. We've made contact with every person that was in contact with them to make sure that they know that specifically. But, you know, I was at a Mexican restaurant Thursday afternoon. I went to see someone, had a grandmother, Miss Danita Bobo's grandmother, went home to be with the Lord. And we went up to the funeral home in Kennesaw. And, of course, we went straight there after work. You know, like I do most of the time. We eat wherever we're at, whatever we can find. There was a little Mexican restaurant, and we wheeled in there, and they were outside, they were inside, they were on the sidewalk. There were five times more people in that Mexican restaurant than there is in this church. And I looked around, and I looked at how small that place was, and I think I saw one mask in about 400 people. And I looked at them, and I thought about it, and I thought about this situation. Now, if you're like me, folks, I haven't slowed down one bit. And I understand the concern, and I want you to be concerned, and I want you to respect one another. But I also want you to understand this. We're doing everything we can possibly do in this church to keep you safe. And we're doing more here than they're doing at Home Depot. We're doing more here than they're doing at your favorite restaurant. We're doing more here than they're doing where you work. And the only thing you can do is accept responsibility for your own health and do what you feel like is right for you. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to preach about here in just a minute. I'm going to press on. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm not going to quit serving God. I'm not going to quit doing everything that I can possibly do. But I am going to accept responsibility for myself, and I'm going to be aware of my surroundings. If I'm somewhere and I see somebody coughing and sneezing, y'all know what I do. I flee. And I would ask you to do the same thing. But the same thing is spiritual warfare. There's not a devil hiding behind every tree. Sometimes we have to recognize and understand that sometimes it's me. And sometimes in order for me to ever have a spiritual battle, the first thing I got to do is get past myself, because I'm my biggest problem. Then I got to get past the world. And if I can do that and be standing and fighting in the army of God, then the devil's going to come. So we got to be careful, and we got to be aware, and we have to have some understanding. Now, I want to say also this morning, I want to thank you for giving to the church. And you say, well, why should I continue to give? Well, when you give, you're giving to the honor and glory of God. And I'll say this, giving is a way of worship. Okay, the Bible instructs us to that. And the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And I'll say this about this church, and I don't think every church, especially churches our size, can say this. But this church has continued to give. This church has continued to be faithful, and there have been offerings sent in, and this church has continued to meet its budget, and we thank God for that. You can give a couple of ways. You can give by sending into the P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 524, Hiram, Georgia, 30141, simply Hiram First Baptist Church. Or you can go on to our website, and of course there's a button there for giving. And you can go to our website, which is HiramFirstBaptistChurch@gmail.com, and you can give. You can give through PayPal, which is secure. And a lot of you shopping ladies, y'all understand all about that. So you men, if you don't know, ask your wife, and she'll help you with that. But we thank you for giving. And here's the positive thing, because I do believe with all of my heart that God has a plan for Hiram First Baptist Church. As we have continued to give to this church, and we've not spent the money on the wild game banquet or Bible school or the things that we miss and we love so much, that has allowed us to do is continue to build our building fund so that when the time is right in God's plan, we're going to continue with the plans that God has for this church. Right before this virus came out, I mean, we were running so full in this church that we were having to open up our fellowship hall over here regularly just to be able to have enough room. Now, folks, that's something to give God praise for. And people say, well, it'll never be the same. Oh, yes, it will. We will go back to what we knew before this. And I'll tell you what I believe. We're going to be even stronger. And here's why. You know, we're living in a world that's wanting to oppress the gospel. They're wanting to oppress the people of God. And there is a group of people who think that you and I as Christians, because of what we believe and what we stand for, we are the problem with this country. Now, let me tell you something. When Christians start being oppressed, you know what that does? That usually strengthens the core, the family of God. And what it does is it unleashes the spirit and the power of God. And I tell you what we're going to do till Jesus comes. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people's lives get helped. We're going to see people recover from alcoholism. We're going to see people recover from drug addiction. We're going to see homes that would have been broken up be restored because we're going to be here serving God, believing that God is who He says He is. And the plans that we have for this church to build a gym, we're going to do that in God's time because He is God and He is more powerful than anything that comes against us. And I believe that with all my heart. So I want to thank you for giving. It's not in vain. And every dollar that is given to this church does not get divided up between me and Brother Allen. I'll tell you exactly where it goes. It goes to the things of this church. And if anything, and I want you to understand this, and I think every church should be constituted this way. Nobody owns the church. The property doesn't belong to anybody. If you've ever been to a church and somebody says, I bought this building, go somewhere else. It belongs to God. And if this church is ever dissolved, it is in our bylaws that every dollar will go to a ministry of like faith. That means it goes to a church or it goes to a mission work that promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what the assets are. That's the only way that any church should ever be established. And I got to move. I got so much to preach about. Just a quick note on service updates. We are going to continue to split the alphabet and have services like that until the state of emergency requiring social distancing is lifted. And I believe that's going to pass at some point. And until then, we're going to keep on pressing on. What we also done to try to enhance what we're doing here, because we want people to feel comfortable coming to the house of God, is we have taken our fellowship hall over here and we've made that a mask-only area. And here's what I ask you to do. If you want to sit in an area that you feel more comfortable and you know something, and you want to wear a mask, that's your prerogative. That's certainly up to you. But what I ask you to do, if you're not wearing a mask, not to go in this area. And that's simply out of respect for others. We must, as the family of God, not be divided in these times. We must stand together, respect one another, support one another, and understand that the greatest offense against us is not COVID-19. It is not to do with these riots. It is to do with the forces coming against the people and the power of God, because you and I are living in the last days. And if we don't recognize that and stand together, if this doesn't divide us, let me tell you, the devil's going to have something else. But we're not going to believe that, and we're going to keep pressing on. Amen? All right, now, if you got your Bible, let's get into the message. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter number 12, and I'm going to read some scripture to you. This morning, and then we'll go into Philippians chapter number 3, and I got a few verses to read, and I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can to follow the power and the Spirit of God. But I want to read you a verse of scripture out of Jeremiah. It's going to be the fifth verse when we get to it, that I'll be honest with you. I said, I hope I never have to read that in the house of God. But it's appropriate today, and I want you to see it and understand it, and I want us to understand. How many of you have ever said, I just don't know if it could ever get any worse? How many of you ever said, I just don't know if I could stand anything else? Be careful. Be careful. If God leads you to it, God will lead you through it. And we serve a God that's mighty. And I want to remind you of our motto at Hiram First Baptist Church. It's not about us, it's about Him. Amen. Everything that's done here, it's about the Lord. And if you want God to get the glory, make sure that you make that clear. Because when you start trying to take God's glory, don't be surprised if the power in the hand of God is pulled back. We don't want that. We want God to be at liberty. But you don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. And sometimes I've made the comment, I don't know if I can stand anything else. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like the straws. The straw that broke the camel's back. You know, every time a straw is put up there and it gets heavier, what I've found is I look to the Lord and I say, God, give me more strength. It's not my strength, it's your strength. It's not my wisdom, it's your wisdom. It's not my power, it's your power. And if you're going to be able to stand and do something great and people look at you and they say, how in the person in the world does that person have that much strength? Then you can say, God helped me be able to get through it. Let's read. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1, it says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, and they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me, and thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, and the beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. Just like the world today, they're saying, where's God? If there's a God, if God is real, why this, why that? Or they say there is no God. And here we see Jeremiah in these first four verses, he is complaining to God. And in the fifth verse, we see God's response to him. It says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? If in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee, and yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Now, if you look at that fifth verse, he said, if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied thee, how will you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace and safety you can't stand, how are you going to do when the floodwaters rise? Now that's strong, and sometimes we say, I can't stand no more, I've had all I can stand, I can't take another thing. And here's God's response to Jeremiah as Jeremiah complains. He says, how are you going to do when the things in front of you that you can't see, control, or handle come against you? Let me tell you something, none of us know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know what we're going to be faced with. We don't know what's going to be on the other end of the phone call when it comes. We don't know. I look sometimes and I think about my life and I think, what's my life going to be like in the future? What am I going to be like 10 years from now when my kids are grown and my grandkids are grown and I'm trying to teach one to drive now knowing I got a grandson in 5 years. 5 years, a grandson going to be wanting to get his learner's license. We don't know what the future holds. Am I going to go first or is my wife going to go? Am I going to be old and alone? Am I going to be serving God? Am I going to have my strength? I don't know what those things are going to be. But this I know, the Lord said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. And he's going to be with me to the end. And eventually I'm going to heaven. I want to go over to Philippians chapter number 3. I want to read just a few verses, but I want to preach on this subject this morning. I want to preach on the subject of pressing on. How important it is that we press on. And I want to begin reading in the first verse in the third chapter of Philippians. And we're going to talk about Paul, and we're going to look at words of Paul, and we're going to look at things that Paul dealt with. Paul was a preacher of the gospel. Let's not forget that at one time he was a terrorist. And as he was a terrorist and God spoke to him and saved him, he changed him from persecuting the people and the church of God to the extent that he would drag them out of houses and in front of families persecute them, to a man that was willing to and did, according to history, die for the cause of Christ. But in the process, he went from being popular and educated and a leader in the army to being a man that withstood great warfare, great spiritual warfare, natural warfare for the cause of Christ. Paul writes, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision of the mutilators. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And here he begins to speak of and talk about the things that he had endured for religion's sake. There's a difference. We're not here today at Hiram First Baptist Church because we're religious. We're here because we're Christians. And we're here because we believe that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. He's God. We're not. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we believe these things, that we have eternal life waiting for us. Not religion. There's a difference. And here's what he says about his religion. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, Paul said, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He said, I persecuted the church. I was a Hebrew. I was educated. I was a Pharisee. And I was blameless. I kept the law. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have already obtained. Listen to what he said. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, that if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto them. That 14th verse is our verse. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what he's saying as he begins to go back and recount the things of his life. And he looks at where he's at today and he looks at what he's going through. He says, I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep pressing on. Now, if you look at some things in Paul's life, the first thing to see in this scripture, if you go back and you look at verse number 2, those first few verses, is that Paul faced opposition. See, sometimes what would happen, he said in the second verse, beware of dogs. Now, that's strong language. Sometimes people read the Bible and they say, well, if God's loving and God's merciful, let me tell you something. He said, beware of dogs. In this context, it is a term used for the ones who are out to get you. Can I tell you that there are people who are against you that seek to destroy you? Now, there are people that are against the church. There are people today that live in this country that if you say you're a Christian, they hate you simply because of it. Now, it's been that way abroad for a long time. There are people in other nations and other countries that believe that Christian, that America, being a Christian nation, they call us Zionists, and they're out to get every one of you. You talk about stereotyping, they've done it to our nation. I know we've had people try to stand up and say that this is no longer a Christian nation, but let me remind you, this is still the nation where the gospel is preached more than any other. This is still the nation that sends more missionaries out into the world than any other nation in the world. This is still the nation that gives more money to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ than any other. But it doesn't mean as a Christian you're not going to face opposition. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. He said this, talk about warfare. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. You see, just because you're out trying to help somebody and love somebody, you ever felt like that sometimes you try to reach out and you try to help and you get mistreated or you get stabbed in the back and you have people that are against you? Sometimes you think, well, I'm just going to quit. Paul said, press on. Press on despite those that are against you. Press on despite evil workers. These are evil people. Watch for them. They are the devil's tool to keep you from fulfilling God's will and God's purpose. And I want to say this also. Sometimes people that are used to keep you from doing the work and the will of God, they don't even know that the devil's using them. Here's where they're at. They're not right with God. They're not going to serve God. And if they can come up with any reason or any way to keep you from doing that, they're going to do that even though they may not even recognize or know they're doing it. They'll tell you that it's, that they don't want you to do so-and-so, they don't want you to be serving the Lord. I want to tell you something. We need to press on and serve God first. We ought to, the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men. Beware of those evil workers. Then it says, beware of the concision. Now, back during these times, there were a people that were walking around trying to convert still, even after Jesus Christ came, trying to convert to Judaism. And they mixed Judaism and Christianity, and they took the things of the law and they mixed them with grace. And they say, in order for you to be accepted or you to be a part of our group, you have to do things our way. Let me tell you, we need to follow him, okay? And what they were is they were people who walked in the law, expected you to do so, not people who walked in grace. They were men of cruel means, cruel purposes, and cruel ways. It's like this. I call them stiff-necked rule keepers. They stand in the way of God's grace. They stand in the way of what God can do. You know, you've heard the word legalistic. Can I tell you, you can preach the whole counsel of God without being legalistic. Well, what is that? You've got three things to understand when you come to the house of God. Folks, you've got convictions, and everybody ought to have them. And can I say this? If you're saved by the grace of God, your convictions ought to grow till Jesus calls you home. Then there are absolutes that are written in the Word of God, and if it's written in there, it's true for everybody. You don't have to ask. Sometimes people come to me and they say, well, I know what the Bible says, but. And I just look at them and say, look, if the Bible says it, I don't know what else to tell you. If you're not going to believe God, why in the world would you believe anything I say?
That's right. Amen.
But then there are preferences. Sometimes people come in and they won't think because they feel a certain way that you ought to do that way. You know, what the funny thing is, most of these legalistics that I know over a period of time, they change. They change, and here's why they change. Because it comes out of a mentality of what they have tried to get you to conform to, not according to the Word of God, but not being able to understand their own convictions. If you got a conviction about something, don't do it.
Amen.
But just because your haircut ain't like somebody else's haircut, be careful about saying they're not saved because they look that way. I couldn't grow hair if I wanted to. Remember the statement. This is a write it down. Beware of men with strong convictions but little compassion. The greatest thing you can do is love people. Care for people. And sometimes you got to do it when everybody will say they don't deserve it. But God said, I'll do it. Sometimes you got to do it when everybody looks at them and says, I can't even get near them. They're so mean. They still got a heart. And if they're breathing and if they've got life in them, there's still hope that you'll be able to reach them with the love of Jesus. Because sometimes in order to be able to reach people with the love of Jesus, you got to be Jesus. You got to put feet on it, and you got to put hands on it, and you got to put a heart on it. See what Paul did when he was facing opposition. You see this in the 4th to the 6th verse. Is he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he went back and he recounted those things and he said, but all those things I count as loss for Christ. You go down to the 7th verse and Paul began to acknowledge his new life in Christ. And although he had those things that he had to lay behind, he said, I count all those things as waste just to know Jesus. You know, our life goes by so fast. Our life passes. And sometimes I look at my life and I think, where did it go? How did I get to this point? And I think, how in the world am I? It just seems like we got married yesterday and we got a 29-year-old daughter. I got three grandchildren. I get that right, I'll get in trouble. Two grandboys and one granddaughter, and she's in charge. And I got my youngest son learning to drive. And I look at my life, and we fight, and we scratch, and we desire to have, and we want. And then we turn around, and we see that it's behind us. Folks, let me tell you, Paul understood early on it's best to take all that and give it to Christ. See, he sought for, he looked for, and he understood as he gave his life to Christ that there was more. There was eternal life. Remember, Jesus spoke to him out of heaven. And as he pondered on these things, we see in the 14th verse that Paul encouraged himself to press on for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because heaven is waiting, Jesus is waiting. There's more than I could preach this morning, but remember, God had already showed Paul things that were so wonderful he couldn't even write about them. And when he preached the gospel, he preached it with a knowledge and an understanding of who God was and the power of God with such zeal and anticipation that he longed for the opportunity to be with God. You know, he even longed for this. He longed for the opportunity to lay down the flesh and all the things that pertain to it. And then if we look at the 16th and the 17th verse, he says this. He says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. And brothers, be followers together of me. And mark them which so walk so as ye have us for an example." Now this is strong what he says. Paul says, follow me. I would be careful to say that. But here's what Paul was saying. He says, I know where I'm going. I know what I've given up, and I know what's ahead of me, almost like God showed me. And he's saying, let me be an example. He said, I have pressed on, and I'm going to press on. And he said, I want you to press on. And as I look at and I read the Word of God, the writing of Paul, the writer of the majority of the New Testament, if we're going to follow Paul, we need to be encouraged to press on. And I want to give you just a couple of things to consider our opportunity to press on or to keep on. And the first thing is we need to keep on or press on in spite of the powers that oppose us. You know, as Christians, when we're pressing on to do the things of God, what I want you to understand is you do have an enemy against you. We have forces against us today that sometimes when I look back and I talk to my wife, we talk about church as it used to be. I talk about my dad. I talk about the preachers who used to preach and minister to me when I was a young man. And I would think sometimes if they were to see this world that you and I are dealing with today, what their thoughts and comments would be. How many of us ever thought we'd see some of the things that we're seeing today? Ever thought we'd even be dealing with the things that we deal with in ministry today? As we try to stand and proclaim the truth from the Word of God, remember, we didn't write it. We just preach it if we're going to be right with God. Can we ever have believed that we'd see the things that we are seeing today? So if you make a decision, I'm going to surrender my life to God. And when I look in the mirror, I'm going to turn it over to God. And when I look at the world, I'm not going to follow it. I know that God is real. Then I want you to understand, as a Christian, you can expect to have spiritual warfare. You can expect it. The Bible says that there would be spiritual wickedness in high places. And let me tell you, folks, it's rampant today. See, you recognize that if you serve God in the last days, you are on the devil's radar. I remember being in Bible college with a bunch of young men down at Grace Baptist Church, Atlanta Baptist College, and we would sit sometimes and we would talk about it. And you know, sometimes what we'd talk about, I can remember playing cassette tapes, if y'all remember that, of a preacher, and they put the tape in and they started playing it. And I'm talking about this man was preaching. He was preaching. He was on fire. And we were sitting there as young preachers, and you know, you could see feet tapping the floor and you could hear people say amen. And right in the middle of the message, the teacher, he cut it off. And we said, that was good. Keep going. He said, I got to tell you. And he said, I want you young men to understand this. Y'all hear the power. You hear how this man preached this word. You hear the message. He said, this man right here fell and he's no longer serving God. He's no longer preaching the gospel. And we sat there and we pondered the words that Paul wrote. He said, "If after I have preached to others, I must keep watch over myself lest I also become a castaway." Let me tell you what happened, and we talked about it. If you're serving God, you have a radar on your back, and you're the target of the devil, and he's going to do everything he can to stop you. You keep pressing on. Amen. And when you see somebody fall, don't you judge them. Don't you criticize them. You come alongside them and you bear their burden and you lift them up and you help. The only reason you should ever go to anybody is to restore them to the family of God. That's the only reason. You see, we got to press on despite some powers that oppose us. That's why we got to pray for one another. Brother Allen, that's why I pray for you. Brother, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God's got his hand on you. And I appreciate you. And I've said this to people before, and I love you, brother. I know God has anointed you. And I've said this to Brother Allen. I'll say this to this church. I told him to preach to these young people what God put on his heart, because I know God's in his heart. But the enemy's going to try to stop that. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to send somebody along to discourage you. And they may be disguised, but you got to look past them and see him. Then you got to press on despite those people that are against you. See, some people are not going to support you. They're not going to forgive you. They're not going to accept you. They won't believe, and they're going to do everything they can to bring you down. We have people in this church that have come out of great things, and it's up to them whether or not they tell you. It's not me. It's not up to me to tell somebody else's testimony. But I want to remind you that every one of us was lost before we got saved. Every one of us was in darkness before we brought into light. If you go back and I preached a message sometimes about what I used to be, he said, Paul wrote, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified in Jesus. But you know, there are some people that have come into church and they might know your past. And they'll look at you and you know what they're going to do? They're going to judge you, turn their nose up. And they're going to say, I remember when. They need Jesus. And they're welcome here, but they're going to have to understand that they need Jesus. You see, sometimes the devil often uses people to do his dirty work. See, sometimes people are going to oppose you and try to take the air out of your sails. You see, I've seen people get saved, turn their life over to the Lord, begin to serve God, and even come into church, and as they're serving God over a period of time, they might be a Sunday school teacher. They might be a worker in a ministry, and I've seen people come in and say, well, you know, I don't want my kid going in that class because I remember, you know, about 15 years ago they used to do so-and-so. Where were you 15 years ago? Do you ever remember being lost? If you don't remember being lost, you probably still are. Because if you can't go to a point in time that God saved you and brought you to a place of restoration and healed you and poured his spirit on you, maybe you need to get saved, because we don't go to heaven because of what we do. We're going because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. You know, sometimes we need to press on despite problems that oppress us. You know, I mentioned it before. Things are going to come. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's joblessness. Sometimes it's family problems. Sometimes it's church problems. Sometimes it's COVID-19. Sometimes it's racial issues. Sometimes you say, well, Christians ought not to deal with depression. Sometimes it's depression. Sometimes it's burdens. Sometimes the truth is, life can pour so much on us that we feel the weights coming down on us so heavy that we think nobody knows, nobody understands what I'm going through. I want to tell you something. Everybody's going through something, and God has not left you, and we need to press on because there is a reward waiting on us. Sometimes I've said, Lord, I don't know if I can stand anymore. Can I tell y'all? I've quit saying that. I've come to the point that I just say, God, have you ever said this? God, I want to do what's right. I want to serve you. And sometimes, Lord, there's so much coming against me, I can't do it. I certainly can't do it by myself. And if, God, I'm going to make it, you're going to have to help me. And I just go and I fall on an altar at my house, in the woods, on the job, driving down the road, wherever it is. And I just surrender to God. Do you realize you can't fix everything and everybody? Can you imagine Paul as he preached the gospel and they took up stones at Lystra and they threw rocks at him and hit him with stones because he told them about Jesus, and they carried him outside the gate and threw him down thinking he was dead. When he woke up, he said, "I thought they'd cook me a dinner. I thought they'd invite me over for fried chicken." No, they tried to kill him because he told them about Jesus. Press on. Press on despite powers that oppose you, despite people that are against you, despite problems that oppress you. Press on despite disappointments that come in life. Disappointments from trials. Disappointments by unfulfilled dreams or desires. Everybody has faced disappointments. Disappointments at work. Disappointments at home. Disappointments by circumstances. Sometimes I have to remind myself, we're not home yet. I've got to the point when I walk around my house, I want to put on a blindfold. Let me tell y'all why. There's not one thing in this earth that's not decaying. Nothing. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal." You know, I work hard around my house and I'm wore out from doing it. I walk around, I told my wife, I said, every time I look up, I see a rotten piece of wood. And I'm tired of looking at it. And I get on a ladder and I fix this and I think, well, I'm done for a while. And then I see another one. I think, oh. Can I remind you that we're living in a world that's cursed? And here's what sometimes, and this is what God spoke to me as I was just kind of pondering it in my mind, and I was going through that running with the footman, and the horse verse came to me, and he said, "What about this?" And you know what God said? He said, "We're not home yet. We're not home yet. We're not to a land where there's no death. We're not to the land yet where there's no corruption. We're not to the land yet where there's no heartache, but we're headed there." Amen. You got to press on despite disappointments that come. And in this one, and I want you to understand this, you got to press on despite failures that trouble you. Can I tell you, you're going to fail. I remember one time a young man, and God was dealing with him, and I tell you, I was around some of these people when I was growing up, legalistic. He said, I went into church. He said, God was all over me. He said, I had to go down to the altar. I knew I needed to be saved. He said, I went down and got saved. He said, I got up, and the pastor come over in front of everybody. He put his arm around me, and he said, "Now, boy, do you know what God expects of you now?" And you know what he said in his mind? He said, "Oh, boy, here it comes. Here it comes." He said, "Son, God expects you to have failure." He said, "I cannot tell you how relieved I was that just because I went and I got saved, that I'm not required to be perfect." Remember, it's not about us, it's about him. Amen. Paul failed. Remember what Paul did when he was over with Barnabas and Mark. Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, he said, "Mark failed. He's not going with me." So much so that there was contention between Paul and Barnabas. What did he do? He judged harshly. Let me tell you, Paul had to learn from God just like you and I do. You got to press on despite failures. You know what the devil will do if you don't? You might have a bad day. You might have a bad week. You might have a relapse. You might hit somebody in the jaw. Well, Christians don't do that. Some of them I know do. You might run a stop sign and have an accident. You might let words fly out of your mouth that you wish that you could retract. And all of a sudden, you're going to feel bad. And you're going to hurt. You know why you're going to hurt? Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's what lets you know you're saved. If you don't feel bad when you do wrong, you might need Jesus. But there's going to be another voice that's going to come. It's going to be the enemy. And he's going to say, if you talk that way, if you act that way, what business you got going down to Hiram First Baptist Church? And what he's going to do is he's going to try to make you feel so bad that he causes you to stop. Can I tell you, there are people who used to be active in this church that had a failure in their life, and they were so embarrassed by it that they won't come back. When in reality, all you need to do is between you and God is come and make peace with God. It's nobody's business to judge you. You got to press on despite failures that trouble you. You know what? I got this little sign. I had it on my computer. I tore it off. Goes back to what I said earlier. Here's what it said. Be perfect. Can't do it. Just ask my wife. Just ask my son. Ask my daughter. I want to. But sometimes it gets so heavy. I'm like the verse with the footman and the horses. And it's kind of like this. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you except that which is common to man. And with every temptation that also be made a way of escape. Here's what happens. It's the closer I get to God and the more I grow in my relationship with God. Let me tell you something. I'm not fighting the same battles that I fought when I got saved at 12 years old. I'm not fighting the same battles that I fought when God called me to preach at 17 years old. I was actually called to preach in the ninth grade. I started doing it when I was 18. Let me tell you, I fought battles then. They're different today. The more I learn, the scripture says, unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of him. Let me tell you, the devil is wise, and he comes with different things today than he did when I was a young man. He doesn't quit. Well, I got news for him. I'm not going to quit. Amen. And the reason I'm not going to quit is because it's not about me. You see, there are times that I have to look at my wife and I have to say, honey, I'm sorry. There are times I have to look at my sons and I have to say, guys, I'm sorry. There are times that I've done things on the road and I have to say, I'm sorry. Now, folks, there's a pattern of life, and if your pattern is not right, you need to talk to God. But here's what I want you to understand. You don't quit when you fail. You come back to where you get your strength. And here's where I'm at in my life today. I face different battles than I faced. And sometimes what happens is my energy or my spiritual barometer is not where it needs to be. And I need to get on my face before God and get the strength to face the giant, because the giant is stronger than the lion. He's stronger than the bear. And we don't know what's out in front of us. But we're going to press on. Amen. And we're not going to quit when we fail. Church, if you fail, come back to your family and let us pray for you. Let us help you. Let us love you. Let us care for you. Because we need to press on. There are people today that need to be at Hiram First Baptist Church. They've quit because they had a failure in their life. And I got a little bit more, but I'm going to have to hurry. Can I say this to you? You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than your failures. You're one of God's children. You know, we need to not only press on in spite of some things. I'm going to hurry, but we need to press on because of some things. We need to press on because of our little ones. You see, our children need someone to follow. And they need to hear the Word of God. They not only need to hear it on Sunday morning, but they need it demonstrated to them every day at home. They need to know and see that what you say you believe on Sunday is what you live during the week. And they need to be in the house of God. We need to press on because somebody's watching. You know that a lost world needs a witness today, and they need real heroes. Now, I'm a real hero person. Okay? I'm not one that if I see one that's well known to run and want their autograph. But I am one that wants to give roses while people are living. The greatest heroes I've ever known in my life were people who stood for the things of God. A hero passed away this year. His name is Ravi Zacharias. A couple of years ago, a hero passed away that a lot of people don't know, but God knows him. His name was Harley Kimmons. Another hero passed away this year. His name was Woodrow Pulliam. And when I think about this church and the names that have gone up on the board since I've been here, the children and the family of God that have gone to be with the Lord, those are real heroes. And what the world needs today, as far as the church is concerned, is it needs to know that there is a church where the true word of God is proclaimed. And there are preachers that will still stand and preach the word of God. And can I tell you this? It is not wrong. It should be expected that you would expect your pastor or your preachers to preach and live the same way they preach. You need to press on because somebody needs to lean on you. Somebody needs a witness of someone that won't quit. See, Paul said that. He said, follow me. He done made his mind up. He said, I'm not going to quit. You can follow me. You see, everybody in this church has somebody that their life affects. And then we need to press on, most importantly, because God is for you. If you read the 17th chapter of John, Jesus, in that chapter, he prayed for you. And he talked about, in that chapter, the condition of the world, and he knew it was going to get rough. And even when he was on the cross, one of the cries, he said, if they do these things in a green tree, in other words, in the presence of Jesus himself, what are they going to do in the dry? He knew that there would come a time when there would be a famine for the hearing of the word of God. And he prayed for his children in the 17th chapter of John. And he said, Father, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from evil. Can I tell you that God, that Jesus is for you? He's making intercession for you. And I'll also tell you this. He has a crown for you. There's a song that the Perrys sing. We're going to ask Kendra to go ahead and get ready to come sing. It says, are you tired and distressed? Weary saint in need of rest. There are storms you must walk through, but they won't last. They never do. It says, keep on. Be brave. Hold fast. Have faith. Pray hard. Fear not. Stay strong. Keep on. And it says, do not turn left or right, but straight ahead, the cross in sight. He will guide you safely o'er to where troubles come no more. See, I believe today that somebody just needs to be encouraged to press on for the things of God. Folks, we're going to get through it.
Yes. Amen.
Walk with God. Kendra's going to sing this song. I ask you if you would to rise to your feet. If God has spoke to you and you're in the house this morning and you'd like to pray, these altars are open. If you'd like for somebody to pray with you, just ask them to do so. If you'd like for them to wear a mask, tell them to do so. That's okay. But if you want to come pray and you just want to come talk to God, let me tell you, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. And can I tell you, I'm so thankful that we still have a Heavenly Father. What the Scripture says, with eyes full of mercy and a heart filled with love. And he cares about us. And whatever we're going through, he wants to help us. And if you're out there listening on Facebook this morning and God spoke to you, you can bow right where you're at and ask God and he'll talk to you. God loves you. As she sings this song, if you'd like to pray, would you come?
Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but he is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions and not sure which way to go, stand still. God move, standing still, it's hard to do, when you feel that you have reached the end, he'll make a way for you, stand still, and let God move.
Hosea, thank you for coming to the house of the Lord this morning. We are excited because we know that God has a plan, and we're looking forward to it. Come back next Sunday morning. We are going to have a youth Bible study, and we're inviting everybody to come. And Miss Darla Carson is going to be doing a Facebook Live today at 2 p.m. for our children. You know, these kids miss being here. You know, there are some that absolutely, they and I miss Bible school. You know, I was looking so forward to it. We were excited. We had Ashley Goff was going to leave our Bible school this year, and we were looking so forward to it. Some of these kids, they had rather come to Bible school than they had to go to the beach on vacation. We've actually had some of them say that to the mom and daddy. We got to get back so I can go to Bible school. They miss Children's Church. They miss Awana, and we miss them. So let's pray for them. 2 o'clock today, Miss Darla will be doing a Facebook Live for the kids, and you can join them at Facebook, Hiram First Baptist Church, Awana page. And let's keep praying for the church. Keep recognize that this will pass, and we're going to move forward for the honor and glory of God. Now, folks, let's be praying for our country. If there's ever been a time that we need to be praying, it's today. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be scared. We need to understand that God is out in front of us. And when we read the Word of God, I'm not going to preach again. I'm going to hurry. He's already told us what's going to happen. We just need to press on. Thank you for coming this morning. Bump fists with one another as you go out.